What's up, everybody? And of course, this is Dan, and I am back with another episode of Podcast 4D, which of course is, you know, the Dallas Cowboys, the draft, because we do talk about the draft a lot, and of course, the Doomsday Defense, which this last year the Cowboys seem to have. So Joseph and I have had a lot of family stuff. My wife had surgery. He's got some law school stuff going on. So we had to take a little bit of a break, but we're back. I'm back for right now. And I had this whole idea of coming on today and really addressing the coaching stuff, which we will get into. I wanted to talk a little bit about the draft, free agency. But a couple of things have occurred this week, and I think we just need to address them right off the bat and see where this takes us a little bit. So the first thing I want to address is what happened. What we'll go time-wise, right? So the first thing that happened, of course, the Rams win the Super Bowl. Look, the Rams absolutely went all in, right? They went through free agency. They were just like, I don't care about the picks right now. We're winning a Super Bowl. Look, the Bengals made it to the Super Bowl, and there were a lot of homegrown talent, but they made some moves in free agency to really kind of help their team a little bit. Something that the Dallas Cowboys seemingly do not want to do. Yes, Jayron Kearse was an absolute find. Malik Hooker looks solid. And Brent Urban was a great pickup, right? Like, I'm not going to say they haven't done anything. But there seems to be a very large part of the front office with the Dallas Cowboys that believes, and look, I'm going to just say it, Stephen Jones, that believe that you don't need to use free agency. That free agency is there just to get some depth guys once in a while. But really, you need to keep the players you have or hopefully find some diamonds in the rough or values within free agency. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. They haven't really gone after any decent names to really solidify part of the team that needs it, right? So I don't know what they're going to, none of us knew what they are going to do this year. I mean, they've told us pretty much, hey, look, we're not going to go in free agency. We're going to keep it with keeping our free agents, and we want to use our homegrown talent. And we, free agency is really going to be there to just fill a couple holes. And again, look, if you want to win in this league, in this era of football, you have to be willing to use both the draft and free agency correctly. And unfortunately, what we have seen is that they have not been using it correctly. I think we can all pretty much say the offensive line has needed help for a couple of years now. But for whatever reason, they refuse to use free agency to really kind of solidify that. They've needed some on offense, the tight end up till Schultz started performing. Like, there was a little bit of a question with, is Jarwin going to be healthy? And we didn't know. And, they didn't really make any splashes there. I think we can argue they certainly didn't do anything for backup quarterback, which is fine. I mean, I think it's Cooper Rush did amicable, and I always thought he would. But if you're going to win, you're going to have to use free agency, other than hoping two guys coming off surgeries are going to be the guys. The guy who is probably on his last one or two single year deals may not be the guy. And the Rams proved that you can go heavy. Yes, it puts you in a little bit, they're not as bad as people want to believe, but a little bit of a cap crunch. Because they kicked the can down the road, but they did some things that probably weren't in the best structuring. But that's okay, because guess what? They're the world champs and we're not. So I wanted to just kind of talk about that. Look, from a D Magazine interview, I think it was 2015-ish. There was an interview about Stephen Jones. And one of the quotes I've been kind of throwing out there over the last, I don't know, month or so, is really about how the question was, how would the Cowboys be under Stephen and Charlotte and the rest of the family? And, you know, Stephen specifically said that they will probably be more conservative when Jerry's gone, because Jerry is the guy who takes the risks. So if you're one of those fans or one of those analysts or one of those people who really wants the Cowboys to go heavy, to do some things in free agency, you know, right now it does not look like Stephen Jones wants to go there in any way, shape, or form. You know, the jokingly people are starting to call him Cap Boy because all he talks about is how much money and how much cap there is. So not great, right? But then look, right after the Super Bowl, the Cowboys release a hype video, which I think was really off the mark. You know, they released this hype video and they're saying new mindset, you know, talking about looking towards the future. Well, if you're not changing your mindset to start the season, you're already putting yourself behind the eight ball to change your mindset for the rest of the season. And if the rumors are true and the front office is telling their offensive coordinator to play the money, right, to essentially feed Zeke and do certain things that, you know, probably weren't in the best interest of this team succeeding, if those rumors are true, then you have set yourself up way behind the eight ball, especially if you're not changing mindsets at the front office. So look, I'm going to call them out. Jerry and Steven, you guys have to get over your egos. You have to get over your pride. You have to realize you have not been able to do this in almost 30 years through your way. We get it. You wanted to win your way. You want it to be the Cowboys way, whatever that means. You're not. It's time to face the fact that you are not doing what it takes to put a team on the field and even all the way through the coaching staff that is going to win a Super Bowl. You have to get out of your own way first. But I don't know if the rumors are true, you know, but I do know that their desire to not spend in free agency, to sign what they have and almost run it back again, has been something we've seen for quite a while now. You know, so that was the first thing. And of course, you know, right before that, you had the Sean Payton thing, you know, leaving New Orleans. There was all this talk of whether or not Sean Payton would come to Dallas. Sean Payton kept adamantly saying he was taking a year off. If we look at that, you know, realistically, look, Amazon's jumping right in, right, to football. They're probably going to go after Troy Aikman. I think they might try to make a play to buy out Joe Buck and bring both of them over. They may not, but either way, they have openings. And look, Sean McVay is now saying he's going to take some time off. So now you have some openings coming up with, you know, Amazon and Fox and, you know, all of this, all of these other analyst positions, ESPN and NBC and CBS, and it just goes on and on and on. If we go and look at what the TV money is making, okay, for instance, Tony Romo is making $5 million more a year than the highest paid coach in the NFL, which of course is Bill Belichick. So if you're a coach over the age of, let's just say, 55-ish, a la Sean Payton, why, and you've already won a Super Bowl, you're a legend in New Orleans, and you have to work less hours to make way more money. I don't know why you would want to come back unless you just feel like you have something to prove. I don't know if he feels he has something to prove, but I mean, if you follow the money, he's going to stay where the money is with a lot less stress. But okay, let's assume that he takes that year off. Well, this week on the Rich Eisen show, You know, he straight up asked Mike McCarthy about the whole thing, the whole enchilada. And you know, McCarthy came off at, with a little bit of a reserved way of saying things. And he did throw a couple little jabs in there, one of it, which was, you know, essentially the front office focuses on big picture things. And he really just wants to focus on winning football games. He did not seem overly happy with how things were playing out, but he definitely spoke that he felt comfortable through this year. But it's a mess, right? So your head coach now knows you have interest or perceived interest in at least one other coach. Jerry Jones goes on the radio and specifically states Mike understands he's not going to be the coach of the Cowboys forever. And oh, by the way, I would hire Dan Quinn or Kellen Moore as my head coach. Mike McCarthy has been very adamant about Dan Quinn and loving Dan Quinn and bringing Dan Quinn, where if McCarthy gets let go, Quinn may or may not stay, right? Depending on how that plays out. If he feels like Mike McCarthy got done dirty, well, guess what? And he may not want to stay, and guess who is probably going to be your coach? It's going to be Kellen Moore with potentially a Jason Garrett part two. I don't know. Like, none of us know what's going to happen. But you can see the cards potentially falling that way. And it's, you know, between these two things, between them, how they put a hype video out right after the Super Bowl and commenting on how they weren't going to spend in free agency, but yet saying they're going to change their mindset. And it's just this weird mess that they have. And then on top of it, you're adding the coach issues and the questions. Oh, and by the way, they've also, you know, we know they're talking whether they're going to keep Amari. Do they keep Gallup? Do they cut Tank Lawrence? There's a whole bunch of really weird questions about really talented players, guys that can give you a lot if you use them in the right manner. And all of this is out. All the while, there's this little release that, you know, Rich Dalrymple has retired. And then the news breaks today about how he was recording cheerleaders and there was, you know, $2.5 million in hush money essentially to cover it up. And, you know, taking pictures of Charlotte Jones upskirt in the war room on draft night. And look, this front office is a mess. Regardless of what you hear on the radio, this is an absolute disaster start to 2022 for this team. It's a disaster start. Can they pull it out? Meh, sure, why not, right? Like, you do some great things, but look, the Dalrymple thing is not probably going to go away anytime soon, but you can pull out from the other stuff pretty easily if you do the right moves. But do we all have faith that they're going to do the right thing and make the right moves? I don't know too many people right now who believe that. It feels like the fans have finally turned on this front office, and these three things have be adding to the way they lost and how this team performed down the stretch. I don't think there's a lot of fans. I don't think there's a lot of analysts who truly think this team has what it takes to win a Super Bowl next year, at least at this moment. And that's a hard fact to have to ingest, right? None of us like this answer, but it is what it is. So, you know, I wanted to get this out and just basically say, you know, a lot of people question, say people aren't hitting hard enough back at the front office. Look, I have been hitting hard on this front office for a very long time, probably since they gave Wade the boot and brought in Jason Garrett. I have been really down on this front office. You know, there was a lot of speculations and there's been rumors throughout the years, and there's been a lot of talk about behind the scenes stuff. And, you know, you had Chido Awuzie also come out and basically say, you know, I like playing Cincinnati. You don't have to deal with all the lights, which, you know, people were like, oh, if you can't play in Dallas. Well, now you're seeing some of the lights. The lights isn't just what the media puts on you. It isn't just what the fans put on you. It's the entire package. It's how many eyes from the front office to the media to everything all the way down there is. So we've heard it before. DeMarcus Ware said something semi-similar. You know, whether you like Cole Beasley or not, he says something similar. A lot of guys who have left this team have specifically stated very similar things that, you know, essentially this is a circus. And you know what? It is a circus. If we're going to be realistic, this team has the second worst playoff success in the last 25 years. The only team worse than them are the Detroit Lions. So in the last, let's just say, two decades, the Dallas Cowboys are only better in a lot of ways than the Detroit Lions. Look, they've had some great years. They've had a couple of little, you know, some really good players that they have wasted and that they are currently wasting. But this front office has problems. And people want to think it starts with Jerry. And you know, it does. But in reality, it's not going to get better under Steven. In fact, he has basically said it's going to get worse. So if this team wants to win a Super Bowl, if this team wants to give the true hope and still maintain the moniker that for whatever reason they now love, even though the original owner hated it, as America's team, they have to fix themselves. They have to stare in the mirror and really fix themselves, not just say it on the radio, not just say how mad they are and they're screaming into pillows and punching air and you know, whatever. You need to actually have action behind it. And people are tired of hearing the words with absolutely no action behind it. It's falling on deaf ears. I don't think anybody here that's a Cowboys fan right now can honestly listen and say, yes, I believe everything they're saying. I don't. If you do, I would love to know who that person is. But here we are, the official end of the 2021 season, the rollover to the 2022 season. We're here, and it's already starting really poorly. So I don't know what to do about it. I think we'll just keep trying to talk about it the best we can and hope that it, in fact, does get better. So before we get into some more talk, I do want to give some key dates for the NFL. If for people who are very curious about when things actually occur. So the Super Bowl happened, of course, on Sunday. The next piece to this is the 19th. February 19th is the Historically Black Colleges and Universities, HBCUs. The Legacy Bowl is in New Orleans. And then, of course, March 1st through the 7th is the Combine. Immediately following the Combine on the 8th will be designation for franchise and transition players. And then 14th through the 16th of March is essentially the legal tampering period. It's when clubs are permitted to contact or enter into negotiations with certified agents of players who will become unrestricted free agents at the expiration of the 2021 player contract at 4 p.m. on March 16th. So that leads me to March 16th. At 4 p.m., the new year, league year officially starts, free agency starts. They can execute contracts that they had during the legal tampering period. You know, we'll see what they do. The first day of the league year will end at 11:59:59, March 16th. Clubs will receive a personnel notice that include all transactions submitted to the league office during the period between 4 and midnight. So that at that's also when trades start, that then at midnight essentially they can start rolling with signing people. The league meetings are March 27th through the 30th. And then since we do not have a new head coach after the end of this last season, April 18th will be off-season workout programs. The 20th, draft eligible players can start coming in for exams and walkthroughs and all of that. The 22nd is the free agents to sign offer sheets, for RFAs to sign, restricted free agents to sign offer sheets. The 27th is a deadline for prior club to exercise right of first refusals, as it is also for interviewing, timing, testing draft eligible players, and of course, which is at the deadline is the 27th. So you cannot do it any past that, because of course the 28th through the 30th is the draft. So those are the big ones coming up over the next 2 months. It is not for the faint of heart for football. It is a 24 hour a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year kind of a gig. But look, I mean, you know, obviously they take breaks and stuff, but look, the Super Bowl happened and we're already right up against the combine, you know, two weeks of the combine. So, it just keeps rotating, keeps moving, keeps rolling on. So I don't know what the front office is going to do. We'll talk about it as though they're going to do something, that we hope they're going to do. We'll break down what they actually do. You know, we'll look at the draft as it approaches, but this team is in a mess as of February 16th. This team is a mess and it's been a mess. But we're now seeing how much of a mess. And, look, I'm not trying to squash the 2022 season, but it is not starting well. You know, Mike McCarthy pretty much knows he's probably not going to be here unless he wins the Super Bowl. Maybe NFC Championship game, he gets there. But other than that, he may not be here next year, you know, and do they roll the bank out and break the market essentially for head coaches and offer it to Sean Payton? Do they try to keep Quinn? Does Quinn want to even be here? Or are they just going to go, you know what? Everybody's gone, but Kellen Moore is family. We love family. He's homegrown. We're going to keep Kellen Moore as the head coach. And I don't know, but it's going to be an interesting year to watch regardless of how it happens. It'll be an interesting year to watch. So I kind of wanted to just talk about that now, early in the season, before we start getting into other decisions, before more news breaks. I wanted to kind of cover those things. So here we are. Free agency is getting ready to start. So let's just roll to that real quick, because we were talking about whether or not they'll sign anybody. I don't know. I think they're going to try to keep either Cooper or Gallup. They may try to get both. They're probably going to try to keep Jayron Kearse. I have a feeling they're going to try to keep Brent Urban. But they need to go a little heavier. They need to do something to really turn some of this offense around. And the first place you can start is offensive line. You know, they need a linebacker. They're probably not going to keep Leighton Vander Esch, right? So we know they're going to need a linebacker. You're probably going to need at least one safety. Okay. I don't think anybody disagrees with that. You're almost always going to draft a cornerback. Look, you could have two of the greatest cornerbacks out there, but at the end of the day, you're still going to need more cornerbacks. So you almost always draft cornerbacks, as our favorite Amy Trask says, you know, you can't have enough cover corners. You know, so they need these things, but we also know that they need potentially at least one wide receiver, maybe two. They could need a tight end, a tackle, a guard, center. That's a lot of pieces. Oh, and by the way, if you're going to get rid of Tank and maybe Gregory walks, you now have Micah Parsons and some dudes for your pass rush. Because as much as people want to hope, you know, people like Armstrong or Golston, the fact is they haven't shown anything consistent yet, right? So all it is hope that you're hoping that these guys develop another step. You probably need a little more. That's a lot of needs to fill. So you're going to have to use free agency to actually address these problems. You can't just roll into the draft and assume you're going to fix all of this in a draft and that the same guys you had last year are going to be able to be either the same guys or better this year. The odds are stacked against you. Let's just say it that way. You're going to have to make some moves in free agency. You're going to have to figure out, you know, we know that they can restructure some stuff, but some of these guys may not be here. You know, but they can restructure. They can do some things to free up, what, $60 million, $50 million. So they can do it. Are they going to want to? And who do they do it for? Again, a lot of decisions, a lot of mess. They're going to have to wade through all of it and figure it out. But they're going to almost have to approach free agency with a slightly different mindset this year. Talk about shifting mindsets. This is where that's going to start. You know, maybe in the next couple of weeks, we'll start looking at, maybe next week, we can start looking at some of the free agents. You know, I think it's a little premature to really say, oh, go get this guy, when the reality is we don't know if X guy is going to be restricted, unrestricted, released, allowed to walk. There's a whole bunch of things that could happen. So maybe we'll give another week. Next week, we can talk about some people. I'll try to get a special guest on, because I don't know if Joseph will be here due to, of course, law school. But we will talk about free agency next week. We'll hit that one hard and heavy. This week, I really wanted to just kind of address the big elephants in the room and shift free agency to next week. And it's a mess. It's all a mess. And I almost laugh about it, because for years, a lot of people have said, not always directly, but there's been a lot of, you know, what you think of the front office may not be true, or you listen through the Jerry speak, or, you know, there's just a lot more going on than people realize. And now people are starting to see exactly how much is going on and what exactly that looks like and how it looks like and why it appears to be that way. It's frustrating as a fan, because as a fan, all you want to do is win a Super Bowl. You want to celebrate the team's success and you know, one day look on it as we do the 90s with nostalgia and be like, man, do you remember that year? Unfortunately, you know, the Jones family have the most, and I mean the absolute most valuable franchise in sports in the world. Brian Broaddus, who worked with the Joneses for years, recently just came out and said, you know, they want to win a Super Bowl, but they're just not as desperate as they once were, as they were when they bought the team. They're just not as desperate. Why? Because look, that team, they were hemorrhaging money. They were struggling to keep this team afloat financially. You won 3 Super Bowls and built your franchise off the back of those 3 Super Bowls, rebuilt it to be now the largest sports entity or sports team franchise in the world. No, they don't necessarily think the same way fans do. Of course they don't. People want the owners of the team to be the fan that they are. And that's not how it works. Whether or not it should is a whole different conversation, but it's not how it works. These are investments. The players are investments. These teams make a ton of money. And yes, they're probably fans in some part of their heads, and they, you know, but really, these are money-making ventures for most, if not all of them. Outside of Green Bay, which has a whole different scenario. Again, different discussion for a different day. But as you look at this team and you look at the future of it, it starts with how the front office views not only the team, but itself. Their egos are in the way. Their belief that they know better than everybody else is in the way. The lack of going in on the right years to make that Super Bowl run is just not there. Anyway, hopefully I've hammered it home. This front office is the problem. And then, you know, we're going to see how they, if they shift at all with free agency about to hit. We'll see. We'll see. So anyway, let's move on. Let's go to the draft a little bit, right? Because now we're really in draft season. We are really starting to get to the point where, you know, people are starting to put in work, and we're, you know, I know Joseph and myself are absolutely watching, you know, tapes, and we're evaluating players, and we're breaking people down, and we're, you know, we're really looking at how the Cowboys are going to see the draft, but how all teams are potentially going to see the draft. So you're going to hear some ringing again. It's the mock draft machine. So I'm going to roll through. Okay. And some names have certainly changed slightly already within this. You know, look, I think, yep, there it is. All right. So I think your first quarterback, it's either going to be Malik Willis, or it's going to be probably Matt Corral. One of those two is going to be your first quarterback drafted. Look, quarterbacks get overdrafted all the time. You know, somebody falls in love with a guy. I mean, look, Sam Howell or Desmond Ridder could be somebody's real big pet cat for a team. We know there's teams that are going to really need quarterbacks this year. You know, look, the Eagles are probably going to trade for Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, does San Francisco go after Aaron Rodgers? Do they say, you know, Trey Lance is the guy? Do they get someone? You know, what about Denver? What about Green Bay? What about Tampa Bay? What about, you know, do the Giants think that Jones is still the guy? You know, what does Washington do? What does, you know, look, the Jets drafted, but the Jets are always drafting somebody. Miami, you know, are they all in on Tua? You know, Houston, I mean, you can run down the list. There's quite a few quarterbacks, right? With retirements and poor play. And I mean, there's a lot of ways this can go. So, you know, my guess will be is it's probably going to, you know what? I forgot Pickett's up there as well. Pickett might be your number two. I don't know. I think Corral might be number two. Pickett might be three. Ridder, Howell. But I think Willis right now is going to be your number one quarterback. And probably a team like Atlanta or Denver will probably be the spot, right? So as we look at the Cowboys, you know, they have the 24th pick in the first round. There's a couple of names that I have seen a couple of times start dropping a little bit. Devin Lloyd, linebacker out of Utah. I don't know if he makes it as far as the Cowboys. And the only reason I say that is, you know, him and Dean are easily your top two linebackers. And there's going to be a team before 24 that's going to need a linebacker. So I don't know that Lloyd makes it as far as us. Look, we've seen crazier things. It is an absolute possibility. You know, I know Tyler Linderbaum is a possibility. Again, I don't know he makes it this far. I could see the Eagles, you know, with one of their three picks, easily going after Linderbaum. You know, you have the Giants, you have the Jets. I mean, yeah, the Saints. Yeah, I mean, there's some teams that Arizona, that there's some teams, Raiders. So a lot of people also want to see Kenyon Green. He might be an option. Again, I don't know that he makes it as far as the Cowboys. So some names that you could hear is George Karloftis out of Purdue, an edge rusher. You could see Nakobe Dean. You know, Zion Johnson is an absolute possibility. Look, there's also, if you decide to push off from either Amari or Gallup or both, you know, Chris Olave is an absolute possibility at 24. You know, maybe even Wilson. And look, I'm not saying I would release him, but I could be in worse spots in drafts if a Chris Olave or a Garrett Wilson isn't my option, right? So that's also a possibility. You know, DeMarvin Leal, if they decide to kind of look at, you know, defensive tackle position, Daxton Hill, Brisker at safety, but I don't know that they really go safety early because they haven't shown us to go safety early. You know, assuming they get rid of one of the wide receivers, I think that becomes your biggest need. And Chris Olave or Garrett Wilson or even Drake London is another option. I think any one of those or Dotson, Jahan Dotson, would absolutely be the pick there. It's not bad wide receiver class at the top. So it's an absolute possibility. So if we roll through and we see how teams are just kind of picking based on needs, I'm doing this just based on needs. You know, there seems to be a lot of cornerbacks going, offensive line going, because I think those are probably some of the most important positions. You know, you get to the second round and you're looking at Sawyer, out of Georgia and interior offensive line. You have Petrie out of Baylor, who I really like. Petrie. For those who don't know Jalen Petrie, if you're not a Big 12 fan or you're not a real big draft person, you know, Petrie played at Baylor. He's a little, I wouldn't say he's a little undersized. I mean, he's 6 foot, 197 pounds. But is that the guy? Like, he's a strong safety, but is he going to hold up without adding just a little bit of weight? I guess that's a really fine question that will be asked. He comes downhill really well. He plays the run really well. I think that's probably his best part of his game, actually, is run defense. He looks like he's decent in coverage, but Baylor really had him at the line. He didn't have a ton of watching him. You see him more down in the box than you do a lot in coverage. Now, I don't think that means he can't play coverage. I just think that his skill set really hit him that, hey, you play down in the box. You know, do they go Petrie? I think it depends if they keep Curse or not. The other options here are tight ends. You have Likely, you have McBride, You know, there's some linebackers here. There's Asamoah out of Oklahoma. There's Darren Beavers out of Cincinnati. You know, they're probably going to need a linebacker, you know, earlier than later if they don't go after one in the free agency. So, look, I've already gone two rounds, and I've been able to talk myself out of offensive line, even though I know offensive line is super important, and this team absolutely needs to improve the offensive line. But the moves that they make prior to this are really going to be key on how they're going to approach this draft, whether they're really going to be able to do, you know, best player available within, you know, positional understanding. Like, they're not going to go after a quarterback if that's the top person, or a running back if that's the top guy on their board. If it's close enough, you know, like, let's say there's third round, you got, you know, Jeremy Ruckert, Kate Otten, just looking at this, Quay Walker, Chad Muma, and Boye Mafe, you know, sitting up there. But then you've already gone, let's say, linebacker and wide receiver. Maybe you have Ruckert and Otten and Mafe close, you know, but they're like, oh, we brought back Jarwin and Schultz, we're good, we think we're set there. Then they may not go Ruckert, even, or Otten, if they're the best person on the board. They may go Mafe because they need the edge. Maybe they don't go linebacker in the second round, and they've skipped it because they've left themselves open to needing other positions, and say, you know what, Chad Muma is the guy. I don't know, right? And this is the part of the draft where, you know, offensive line is kind of gone. So if you haven't addressed the offensive line by like the third, fourth round here, you're starting to kind of put yourself into some thin pickings. I don't know how they're going to do it. So, you know, we'll say, okay, let's just say one of the, you know, DeMarcus is gone, or Randy's gone, or both. They're going to need the edge. Regardless of, I think, what you do in free agency, you're just going to need the edge. So let's just say you go edge. Again, we've passed on offensive line. There really wasn't a guy in range that you could look at and go, that's the guy. So they're going to have to probably either reach at some points, or they'll have somebody ranked a little differently. You know, here you're almost painted into a corner. You know, do you go Jake Ferguson out of Wisconsin as a tight end if you need it? But you know what? Tyrese Robinson out of Oklahoma, guard. I like him, but I don't know if he's quite ready to just jump right in. He might be. He might be. I don't know yet. He's a really tough offensive lineman. I think he's really good in zone runs, at least so far what I've seen. Zone run seems to be kind of what they do and what he's really strong at. The problem here is he only played on the right side of the line in Oklahoma. Cowboys need a left side of the line unless they move people around, which I don't know that they will. But if you can play right guard, you might be able to play left guard pretty decently. So, you know, let's just say you go with your offensive line. You're already talking pick, 127, and you finally address the offensive line. That's hard. You know, that's hard. And I don't know how they're going to, this free agency period is going to be very interesting. And how they view the team versus how we view the team is going to be really huge. You know, and here, look, we're around five. Look, I could get another offensive lineman. I could go Thayer Munford here. I could go Chase Lucas, the cornerback. There's a whole bunch of running backs available just in this version, right? Like, the draft is obviously different than a computer simulation. But, you know, let's say you need that, you know, offensive tackle. Well, guess what? There's really not one in range at pick 166. So again, you've missed it. Like, look, you do have another pick coming at 175. You know, you can play a little bit with your rankings here, knowing somebody might fall or thinking somebody might fall. You know, let's say they let Brown go. Let's go Chase Lucas, right? Slot corner. Good ball skills. I think, you know, he's a solid in the in tackling in the run game, so he'd help a little bit in, with run defense as a cornerback. He's really good in zone coverage, but man, his man coverage, you watch him, he just, I think he's a really good slot guy. He's 5'11", but man, he turns well. He sinks his hips pretty well. He has extremely good ball skills. You know, he would come in and be your if you keep Joseph and Diggs on the outside, then he cuts up right in, and you've got yourself, you know, your third cornerback, regardless of the Key Brown or and Lewis. Or restructure Lewis or do whatever they do. I think you bring in somebody like Chase to really help the inside coverage. I really like Chase Lucas. I liked him when he was potentially coming out last year. So I really like him this year as well. We'll see. Like I said, he's okay in the run game, but again, he's, you know, not 6 foot. Does this team only want 6 footers? I don't know. But, you know, I'm going with skill here. I'm not going necessarily with what I think the Cowboys are going to necessarily 100% do yet. But we'll just stick with that. So now, look, you come to pick 175 and you got, you know, positions of need, interior defensive line, offensive tackle. You still haven't gotten a tight end. You need a safety potentially, you know, and when you look at it, the safety position from this point on is super thin. You know, you could wait till towards the next round and get Smoke Monday, which might be your best option actually for value. But what do you do here? You know, is this the point you reach a little bit and go, you know, we need a really thick run stopper. Is this the time you do it? And you go back and say, you know what, we really do need a tight end. But again, you're kind of reaching because most of the guys are gone. As I've said, I really like Cole Turner, but he was gone to Las Vegas at 163. So he wasn't an option when even Lucas was on the board. So you've kind of left yourself in a small corner. Let's go Thayer Munford and just add to the offensive line. You know, maybe another linebacker there. This is the weird part of the draft. The Cowboys may trade down at some point just to pick up some extra picks in the 7th round. I don't know. They could do it as part of a trade potentially. Now look, you're here at pick 200. Now you have Nick Grant sitting there, safety out of Virginia. Nick Grant's about 6 foot tall. Now, look, he was a wide receiver out of high school. He is very developmental at this point, but he understands what wide receivers are doing, right? He can play. Starting off, I would put him in a rotation for like deep coverage, cover two maybe. You know, he has good range, it looks like. So I think giving him time a year or two to develop might be an answer. But if you don't have another starting safety, I don't know if I'd put him in right away. I know people are really high on Wilson, but do you just use that as a stopgap until Grant or let's say Yusuf Corker or somebody like that's available? I don't know. Do you go after Smoke Monday at this point? We'll say Nick Grant, you know, safety, and then just let the rest of the draft kind of fall as it may, right? What's going to happen here is, look, I went a little bit of BPA based on positional need and based on positional value, understanding also the way the draft is going to fall, because each draft's a little unique, right? There are runs in some drafts where you get a ton of, you know, wide receivers to go in the 4th round. And some years you don't. Some years it's offensive line. It's the way the talent is, year to year, that changes the dynamic of the draft. And so while teams want to go into the draft and say, you know what, we're going to go best player available, that's a little bit of a false statement. They go to, you know, best player available at positions of need and positional value. It's not to say that, you know, they wouldn't go a position, you know, they've done it before, you know, they've gone wide receiver and they probably didn't absolutely have to, but they did it. But that's earlier in the draft. As you go through the later in the draft, you see a little more like, oh, we're going to reach for this guy. We're going to grab this guy, or we had this guy higher on the board, or whatever that looks like. You know, and just running through this draft, you got your walk away with Chris Olave, Brian Asamoah, Boye Mafe, Tyrese Robinson, Chase Lucas, Thayer Munford, and Nick Grant, right? So you've done something to add to the offensive line, right? You know, can Munford maybe, you know, he was a left guard, you know, he was also a left tackle in 2020. You know, he gives you some flexibility, which the Cowboys love flexibility, right? I don't think either of them, him or Robinson can really be a center. But, you know, you've got two guys from high pedigree schools. Cowboys seem to like that outside of Boise State. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see what they do. But just some names to start looking over, some you'll see a lot of these names repopulate on mock drafts. You'll see a lot of these names brought up in conversations. So before we can really get there, though, free agency has to happen. This front office has to change. And we'll see. We'll see. So that's the skinny for this week. Hopefully you guys are all good, happy, healthy. We'll address free agency next week. We'll do that. So look, if you need to find Joseph, he is at the J.A. Massey. You can also find his stuff on Star Boys Network, which is also where you can find this podcast that both of us are on. And that's Star Boys with a Z at the end. And then you can find me at Dan_Rupert, R-U-P-P-E-R-T. You can find me at Fansided at Sport DFW as well. And of course, right here on Podcast 4D. As the draft season comes up, I do have a couple little surprises coming out. I am working on some joint articles with some people. I'm hopefully going to get on some other podcasts as a guest. Got to keep putting some work in on some of these draft picks, but be on the lookout for it. I hope you're all doing well. And we will catch you guys on the flip. See you guys next week.